This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I must admit, Barry, I am loving being home again. Met some really cool people over there. I'd like to do a big shout out to the people at Moonee Valley and also Tasmania Bridge Club. Met quite a few people that said they listen to the show over there still, Barry. Those Australians are still ticking over our numbers. Brilliant. Special shout out to the Young family, Phil and Linda. They actually took out the intermediate teams, which is very cool.
Lots of Kiwis over there, Mariana. I think I read somewhere there were 218. But I think they might have missed a couple.
Speaking to Anna about that, she said it may have been closer to 280.
Okay. 280. Wow.
Catch up. Come on.
I was going to say 280, that's 2080. I don't think there were that many.
Plenty of places to eat over there, and it is relatively cheap. Very nice places. We had some wonderful cocktails, Barry, I tell you. Awesome.
I saw one of them.
You did.
What was it called? Coco Cabana or something?
Cuba Colada. Arrived in a coconut shell with toasted coconut around the top. It was very good. It probably was the top cocktail that I had that week. We'll be going back to that place. Anyway, congratulations to our friend Mike Weir and co, Hugh McGann.
With Matthew Thompson.
Peter Hollins. Brian Mason, Tom Jacob.
Yep. So they took out the main event, which was the Open Teams. $5,000 for winning the Open Teams, Mariana.
No way.
You need to do that next year.
Far out. 5,000. So what's that? Just under a granny?
Yeah, well, I suppose that's not that much when you put it that way.
Well deserved. But what about those A points that Mike Weir's racking up this year?
I'll tell you what, though. I don't know whether you watched the final of that event. If you think that top players don't make any mistakes, you needed to watch the last 16 boards. There were the mistakes for Africa, and it got pretty hairy at one point. Anyway, they got home by about 10 imps in the finish.
What do you mean? What sort of mistakes?
Well, misdefending, letting contracts make, that sort of stuff. There were errors. I guess it's pressure, and it's a weak bridge. All sorts of things happen, and people make mistakes.
Wow. The dress-ups on Wednesday, that was taken out by a Kiwi team. They were the shuttlecocks. Biggie Cameron, Emma Russell, Tim Ratger, and Rochelle Van Hooven. They looked great. When they walked in, I thought, yep, there's the winners. They outclassed everybody. I tell you what I did. I happened to make the A finals in the restricted. Never done that before. So I was pretty happy with that. Yeah.
It was really good.
I started adding up all my A points.
It was good money for those lesser events. I mean, even back way down in the field, we were playing for $350 if you could win and $300 for second. You know, there's always something to play for.
Get out of town. Yeah. I started adding up my A points, Barry, because my target's 175 this year. And I picked up just under 10 for this trip. That would take me to 148. So I'll be slipping past 150 soon, chipping away at the number. Blair and Liz Fisher, they had very consistent results.
Blair and Liz Fisher, along with Steve Bowie and Carol Richardson, were very unlucky not to make the final of the team. They were right in there with one round to go, dropped down in the last bit.
Hey, did you get to spend your book voucher that you picked up?
I did. I did spend my book voucher, and I've got a book to recommend. It's really good. It's called World Class. It's about European bridge stars. One of the ones I really enjoyed was the first one in the book, which was Sally Brock.
Yeah.
As you know, she's a well-known author as well as a well-known bridge player. And she had some interesting things to say in there. One of the things was she was talking about her first world championship win, which was the 1981 Venice Cup, which is the world championship for women bridge teams. They asked what could she remember of it. And I thought this was quite an interesting thing. She said, one thing she said I do remember was that the team received explicit instructions from our non-playing captain that under no circumstances were we to bid her any Grand Slam. You'd think she was joking. She wasn't. Yeah. I know one pairs had a poor auction to a grand that needed two tricks from a suit of ace-jack to five opposite too small, so it was completely no play. That meant that we had to play four-handed day after day for a while as he refused to let them play again. Probably not so funny, Maria. She had one other funny story she told where, you know how some people have an agreement, they lead the ace from ace king, the king from king queen, the queen from queen jack. So if they do ever lead the king followed by the ace, it means they just have a doubleton. So her partner did this in a suit contract, and she said for some reason when they led a trump, she forgot to play her ace and give her partner a rough. She had three to the ace. She could have just gone up with the ace, given her partner a rough, and the contract would have been one off. Anyway, she ducked and then realized what she'd done. So when they played another trump, she was terrified her partner was going to see her ace of trumps, so she ducked again.
Yeah.
But anyway, then later on, she got in play and gave the declarer a contract that way. However, there was a happy ending. Believe it or not, Marianne, 10 minutes later, a director poked his head around the corner and said the board had been cancelled because a caddy had put it at the other table the wrong way around. Quite a funny story. Another thing that she said that was interesting was she has more or less gone off any invitational bidding. If partner opens a no trump, I either pass or I bid three no trumps. What do you reckon about that?
Hard case.
So whether or not two no trumps makes exactly eight tricks depends on the lead and the defense and how the hands are together with whether the partner is minimal or maximum. If you invite and he is minimum, he might go down in two no trumps, and any information you get from partner to help you make the decision also helps the opponents with the lead and defense. So she's not too keen on that. Invitational bids. Get rid of them. Speaking of which, there's another guy that they talk about, played in the Netherlands, but he's moved to Switzerland. Financial reasons, no doubt, because he's getting paid.
That's right.
Anyway, his name is, and I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Mariana, so don't laugh, Jort Brink. Anyway, one of the things he said was, he reckons that you should most often ask how people can improve their game, and my first answer is to forget any convention invented in the last century, even things as basic as Stamen or Jacobi.
Forget them.
Yep, wow. That's what. Most players still play them as they have been played for the last 50 years, but almost all of them can be improved upon, and that is how the game develops. Players who adopt new ideas will gradually move ahead of the pack. I don't think I'm planning on giving up Stamen or Jacobi anytime soon, Mariana, but interesting comments. Anyway, so this is a great book. It really is. It's got all of the current stars, Sally Brock in there. They're talking about Peter Frieden from Switzerland. From Sweden, he was quite an entertaining one. Cedric Lorenzini. And the woman, Navina Senior, was an entertaining one. I haven't got to the end of it yet. I certainly recommend the book if anybody wants to look at it. World Class European Bridge Stars by Mark Smith, who actually wrote the original World Class about 25 years ago.
Right. Well, I did buy a book, and I actually spent my money on Zia's latest book, Bridge Love Story. I'm up to chapter 3. It's pretty cool. In fact, we must get in contact with Nicole so that we can sort out the results of our online competition with ibxscore.com, where we were offering up this book that I brought. So if you haven't entered that competition, get in real quick. But if you want to slip in and get a couple, it's podcast episodes 281, 283, and 282. That has the secret code words in. So I'll be talking with Nicole this week about announcing those winners. But I like my book so far.
So get back to it. What's in there that you can tell us, Mariana? Any little tidbits that you can remember? Or have you gone brain dead?
I left the book in Hamilton, so I'll share that with you next week.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Boy, it's good to be back on homeland soil, isn't it? Welcome back, Judge Julie and Barry.
Hi.
We've got rain here. Real rain.
There's real rain in Queensland.
They do have real rain
What's
in Queensland.
Fake rain?
It doesn't get cold, though.
All right.
It doesn't get cold.
We've got a couple of questions for the judge, things that happened during the week at the Gold Coast. What happened to you, Mariana?
I had quite a few times at the table where cards kept getting misread, or they couldn't see them properly. So a spade was a club, and a club was a spade, and a diamond a heart. And it was just multiple times. I don't know, Judge Julie, how can you help your partner if they keep getting their cards mixed up?
Certainly at club level. I mean, we have blind players that play at Auckland, And we have people with diminishing eyesight that can be quite severe at various times who need to sit where there's good light and visibility so they can actually see the cards they're playing. So the best thing we can do, if the player wants, because you don't really want to do this if they don't want it, and the directors are agreeable, which sometimes when you call cards, people hear what they are. So you need to have the director's permission pretty much to do this, but that's at club level a formality. I mean, we want everyone playing. The player can ask the opponents to call their cards when they play them. Now, we tried for one player who had severe macular degeneration or whatever, she was pretty much going blind. We tried and got a magnifying glass. It was too awkward to use. It's really hard. It's difficult for the player and they feel sort of awkward because it's causing them problems, but they can ask players to read the cards out to them. And we do have one person, a card reader, someone that sits beside them and actually ensures that they're not having that problem.
Okay.
Generally club level rather than tournament level. We have Peter Hoskin, who is blind, who plays tournaments at Auckland, and people are more than happy to read the cards out to him. If people are having trouble reading their own cards, it becomes a bigger issue. Apparently, the older you are, the harder it is to learn Braille, because we do have Braille cards at Auckland.
Are you growing old and need Braille, Barry?
He's a grumpy.
I'm as young as ever. Yeah, somebody revoked twice against me in trumps. Playing the trumps out, I drew three rounds, and she showed out on the second and the third. And then just as I was contemplating my fate, thinking the trumps were breaking so badly, she said, oh, and she put down these two trumps on the table and says, I've revoked twice.
Oh, gee, it would be wonderful just to keep it going, just to see the agony you were going through, Barry. Well, plus side is that she's revoked twice in the same suit because the penalty is nowhere near as severe where you revoke in different suits in the same hand. So you all know the rule where if you revoke that, you can lose a trick or lose two tricks depending on what the situation is. That rule is basically only applied once if someone revokes in the suit twice. If you revoke in different suits, then the penalty law around revokes applies to each revoke. So plus side, this law is only applying once. If you revoke, don't put your cards on the table. Once you deliberately put your cards on the table, they're a penalty card.
Oh, right. Yep.
At this point, you've revoked, but they're not penalty cards, so they don't have to be played. You don't have to say anything. You can sit back and enjoy the expression on Barry Jones' face as he struggles to make this contract, knowing that you have revoked.
And you can rush in twice.
Yeah, I know. Oh, wonderful, eh? Absolutely wonderful. So then you get to the end of the play and the director applies the revoke clause. If they're put on the table face up, that is if they are deliberately faced by the player and not in the course of play, they become major penalty cards. So they don't get picked up. But when the declarer does the I demand or forbid the leader of the suit, every card in that suit gets restored to the hand if that's what they've decided. There are rules. They aren't so severe if you've revoked twice in the same suit. They are incredibly severe if you've revoked twice in different suits.
Okay.
What happens in this situation, Julie? There's two trumps on the table. One of them's the nine and one of them's the two. Yep. They're both penalty cards. Now, I can beat the two. That will surprise you to hear that. I can beat the two, but I can't beat the nine. How do you decide when which one gets played?
Oh, so you think you can pick, Barry?
Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't actually.
So you can't beat the nine, Barry?
Well, I could when I played the ace, and I could when I played the king, and I could when I played the queen, but by then I'd run out of cards bigger than the nine.
What's damage judging?
What's my fate, Julie?
When a defender has two or more penalty cards in one suit, if it is the defender's turn to play and that defender has two or more penalty cards that can legally be played, the declarer designates which is to be played at that turn.
Ah, okay.
So you could have said the two or the nine, Barry. You can decide.
Oh, so I could have led my three. I could have led my three and insisted she play the nine. Is that the case?
Or the
I guess insisted she play the two.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
What did you do in the
end? Well, look, I didn't do anything. We forgot it ever happened. I know that's not a good thing. And the director came back at the end and said, I could have two tricks. And that meant I made my contract. That was good enough for me.
Yeah.
But I did have another one, which is a bit distressing. I think these people are out to get me. I had this diamond suit, and once again, I had ace, king, queen to five, opposite three small. And when I played the second round, the hand on my left showed out. So you'll know how clever I am at this sort of thing, Julie. I ducked around. And the lady won it with a 10, and she wouldn't believe it. She couldn't believe she'd won the 10. She said, that can't happen. And I said, yeah. And then the guy said, I mean, people are definitely doing what they shouldn't. He said, oh, you know, he'd already showed out a couple of rounds earlier. He plonks the jack down on the table.
Oh, no.
Which.
So when you go back, there is a thing that says after that you apply the revoke law, then equity is not restored. That is, you have lost one more trick than you would have if everything had been played normally. The director will allow you to make that trick to restore equity. You wouldn't make your safety play, though one might debate you and your safety plays. And when you lose them, you probably wouldn't have made that safety play if everyone had followed suit for two rounds. Right? And I'm not going definite here because I've seen your safety plays and heard about them. Okay.
Okay. So I think Judge Julie was my direct. She would be reluctant to give me equity, but she'd probably have to.
That's right. I'd have to.
Did have to, all right.
Some in-depth investigation.
We don't want to give our listeners the impression that nobody on the Gold Coast can follow suit, but there did seem to be a bit of revoking going on.
It happened with us once that I can recall. Certainly not at our table.
I did hear that some of our listeners from Wanaka got to play against Judge Julie and the bailiff, which they found truly terrifying, which doesn't surprise me.
They were lovely, and a big shout out to Wanaka. It was wonderful to meet people, and it was the last session. They were at table three. They were doing well, and we came along. We were very sorry about that. We picked up all the cards, and we did okay with them. It was just very unfortunate. Lovely to meet people from all around the country when you're away in a different country.
How would you have been feeling, Judge, if you'd have been the director in charge of, I don't know, 2,000-odd people playing, and there's a problem with the scoring program and you couldn't get a draw out for the Swiss pairs?
We've all had it. Absolutely. All had situations. I had one in Marlborough where something stopped working and I put out traveller sheets and no one knew how to fill them in. It was, all you can do. And John Lawson, years and years ago, who helped promote Bridge to a large number of clubs in the Canterbury, top of the South region, and was a bit of a character. He had set up a movement, and we have 30 tables on a Monday afternoon at Christchurch Bridge Club, and there are feed-ins and relays, and there's this relay, and the people by the relay decided they didn't want it, so they put it on a table completely out of play, and halfway through the movement, the whole thing fell over because that board wasn't there, and so everything went kaput, and he stood up with the microphone and counted to 10 and said, there's been a cock-up. Right? So take a deep breath when things go wrong. And I was really impressed. The directors actually said, things have gone wrong. We've got a problem. We're doing our best to fix it. Let people know. If people are waiting and they're getting no information, they get frustrated and irritated and annoyed. If you stand up and say, look, I'm sorry, you know, something's gone wrong, my fault or whatever, or circumstance or whatever it might be, then we need to take some time to get things organised. People are more often than not willing just to sit back and relax because they know that everything's been sorted, so it will be done well.
Yeah.
Right? And it's that communication. If you make a mistake when you set up a room and it's going to be a disaster, you tell people to stop. You say, I'm really sorry. I made a mistake. I'm going to sort it out. I've just got to take 5 minutes. Please, please don't call me to tell me it's gone wrong because I know.
Yeah.
Right? Because one of the things truly annoying about bridge players is you tell them and then they stick their hand up and keep yelling for you while you're trying to fix it.
You're not suggesting that there are bridge players out there that don't listen to every word the director says and then later on call the director because they haven't heard what the director said.
There are some, and I will quite honestly tell you that I am not one of them. I always listen to the director.
Oh.
I never creep around the room trying to find out what has been said so I don't have to ask directly. I'm way too scared to put that.
Actually, it is true that sometimes the directors do have something to say that you should listen to, I've discovered.
Yeah, like, the tablets won't work. Stop calling me.
That's right.
So anyway, at Queensland, they announced the problem. They announced they were working on it. When they had another problem because another one of their floor managers had to leave because of a family situation, they announced that so people would be aware that there were issues so that you show more tolerance, more patience. And it was really well done. So I thought they managed very well.
Good to see a lot of people playing bridge over there.
Yes, excellent. Really yep. good.
If only everybody could be aware, Mariana, then they could have won the Gold Coast teams.
And speaking of Weir, he did make an effort to say, and Mariana, the team was called Weir. And I was like, notice that, Michael? Very well done. He's collecting some A points already, that lad.
Yep. No, yes, they did very well. And I think we can now claim 5 of the 6 players as Kiwis, can't we? Isn't Hugh McGann a Kiwi now?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah.
Oh, it was 4. I think it was 4, wasn't it?
There was 2 Australians in there, Matt Thompson.
They let them claim 2, I think.
Pete Collins is still Australian. Yeah.
I suppose a third of the team was Australians. I suppose we have to give them that.
Oh, well, we'll still claim it then.
Okay.
Especially
right.
after our cricket results.
Oh, God. Yes, that was terrible. Another weekend coming up where Judge Julie doesn't have to direct, Mariana.
She's playing this weekend, isn't she? Living here, yes, that must be a bit odd for you guys. 2 weekends in a row having to play bridge.
I think that's 3 weekends in a row.
3 weekends.
South Island Pairs before that.
Wow.
No, that's actually 4 weekends in a row. 2 weekends at the Gold Coast, 1 in the South Island teams, and another weekend in the Triumph.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
Yes.
But you'll have forgotten how to say east-west move, please, Mariana.
We will have no excuses, will we, in the weekend?
You've had good lead-ups.
Actually, I don't know about that. We could still have plenty of excuses.
No, come on. Get in there. That's what I reckon. All right, well, thank you very much for that, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, okay, have a good week.
And we've got some sad news to share with our bridge community. We acknowledge the passing of Anna Colmer's mum, Hermana Hemmies. Real sad loss to bridge.
She played more bridge than anybody I know. She was playing bridge when I started playing bridge, and I believe she played Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before she passed away on Saturday, Mariana.
Well, I was told a funny story about her by Anna. Her and Hank, her husband, they decided to come to Hamilton to play at a bridge session, and they were running a bit late, and she was driving to the bridge club, and she went through an orange light. And then at the next set, she went through that orange light and a cop just happened to spot her. So was following red and blue light. And they pulled up to the bridge club and she said to Hank, off you get, Hank, go on, run out and go and get us a table so that they know we're coming. And the cop thought that he was doing a runner. And it was all because they were late to a bridge session and she wanted to make sure they got a table. Yes, if you want to know, did she get a fine? Yes, she did for running 2 red lights and failing to stop. Hilarious. Passionate bridge player.
She would have been over 80 when this happened, probably, I imagine. That's what bridge can do for you, Mariana.
Yeah. She always had a smile and she just loved the game. Yeah, she was very pleasant. Big loss to us, to Waikato Bridge.
I had heard that story before. It's a great story. And what have we got? So this weekend, we're playing in the trials. I believe that the final of the trials, which will be next Monday, will be on Viewgraph.
You've just had the last 3 weekends leading up into the trials. Is there anything else you have to do before you get into the trials? Are you relaxing, going over stuff? Any shitty stuff happened at the Gold Coast that you need to whack out?
Personally, I think it's too late to be changing anything at this stage.
Yep.
You need to just know the system you've got, even if you think you might want to change something. I think it's too late. Don't do it. We won't be.
Going to be pretty intense, I guess.
So there's 8 teams that have put their names forward. On the Saturday, there'll be 4 matches. Peers have been allocated who they're going to play. The top seeds got to pick who they wanted to play. So did the number 2 seeds and the number 3 seeds.
Really? Can I just stop you there? Why is that? Why do they get to pick?
I mean, I guess they think they should get some advantage. You know, the selectors want the top team to make it through. They've seeded the eight teams, so they've picked the number one seeds, and they want the number one seeds to maybe have the easiest first round draw they can give them.
Oh.
So they get to pick who they want to play. So they've done that. They're playing the number eight seeds. The number two seeds, I think the number six seeds, as it happened, and the number three seed picked the number seven seeds. The number four and the five seeds are the great unwanted, if you want. They're playing each other. So each team will have one 56-board match against one other team on the Saturday. So there's four 14-board stanzas they'll get to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll happen on the Saturday. So that'll mean there are eight teams on Saturday. By Sunday, there'll only be four.
Wow,
so,
Barry.
So that's the semi-finals. There'll be another 56-board match. So there'll be just two matches happening on the Sunday. At the end of Sunday, there'll only be two, Mariana. Final will be on ViewGraph on BBO. If you want to have a look, there'll be two teams playing off for the right to represent New Zealand at the World Championships in Buenos Aires in October. And they'll play another 56-board match, four 14s. And at the end of it, there'll only be one team left standing, and they'll be the team. There will be a third pair added, which will be the winning team will get input in consultation with the directors as to who the third pair will be.
Barry, can you tell me who were the top teams since we're talking about them?
The top seeded teams was Blair and Liz Fisher and Sam and Joe Simpson.
Right.
The second seeded team was Ian Berrington and Fuchsia Wynn, playing with Malcolm Mayer and Pam Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
Third seeded teams were Tom and Steph Jacob, playing with Anthony and Kathy Kerr.
Yep. Okay.
Mm. A bit of entertainment. And don't expect to see error-free bridge on Monday at the end of 3 days and the pressure of that final. There will be errors. You just got to get through them the best way you can if you're the one making them.
It's pretty exciting, really. You must feel excited and a bit, I don't know, would it be anxious going into the trials?
Funnily enough, I don't know how everybody else feels, but Jenny and I have trialed before. We've failed at the trials and we've won at the trials and we've been in a team that played overseas. I think that's sort of, you know, looking forward to it. We're actually reasonably relaxed about things this time, Mariana. Either we're going to make it or we're not.
I'm doing the show, people, from Pyrrhal, and I did have a couple of things that we were going to talk about. And one of them was just how qualified do you have to be a caddy at the Gold Coast Congress? Remember that one? Have a think about it, people. Just how qualified would you need to be a caddy at the Gold Coast Congress? And we'll tell you what the answer is, or maybe comment on it next week.
I just want to point out to people, while they're considering that, this is a paid position.
Think about it. If you want to let us know your thoughts, send it in, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Mariana has in mind a couple of what you would have thought were the best qualified caddies to round. But anyway, we'll talk about that next week.
See you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.